The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, who's back on Tuesday morning. In the meantime, welcome to the Glenn Beck program. The NFL has decided that they're going to try to make the players in the NFL stand for the national anthem, be respectful for the national anthem. And if you want to do some, you want to log some kind of protest, go ahead, stay in the locker room and protest all you want. You know,
but you can't do it on the field.
But not on the field. Now we've got all these NFL players and the Players Association saying, "Well, that conflicts with my right." No, it doesn't. Well, this is a private business telling you to act how to act while you're representing them, while you're doing your job for them. And every private business has that right.
I don't understand how people are not seeing this and knowing that. I honestly don't understand how they're not seeing it.
I don't know if they don't see it because, you know, they're just ignorant of the facts that private businesses can ask you to do certain things when you're working for them, or if they are knowingly just pushing that agenda, trying to pull the wool over people's eyes.
That's possible.
I don't know, but either way, it's agonizing. The president was speaking with Brian Kilmeade of Fox News, and he broke the news to him. Here's what the president had to say about the kneeling controversy.
I think that's good. I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem.
I don't know if they can mandate that you stand proudly, but they can mandate that you stand.
You better look like it's proudly.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
Your frame of mind, I'm not sure they can dictate that.
Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. And the NFL owners did the right thing if that's what they've done.
If that is the story, do you feel like you push this story forward and you push this to a conclusion?
I think the people pushed it forward.
He did the Trumpian thing there where he goes just a bit too far, of course.
Always.
Yeah, if they don't want to stand, they shouldn't be playing. They shouldn't be in the country. They shouldn't perhaps even be living. So you just take it to that next level.
Of course.
It's the President Trump way. But of course you can't. You can't say that they don't belong in the country.
Of course not. Because they don't stand. Absolutely. If I don't want to stand, I don't have to stand.
Right.
Exactly. Unless I've agreed to stand. I mean, my employer wants me to stand.
Yes. And again, you can still refuse to do that.
I can.
But there's going to be consequences.
There are repercussions to my actions.
Yes. So if you understand that there are consequences and you don't start screaming that this is un-American once you suffer those consequences, then we're fine. We're fine. Because a private business can do what they want as far as dictating how you perform on their time.
Which, by the way, is American.
Yeah, fully and completely. And so, but that's not what's going to happen when this thing blows up sometime during the course of the season.
And it will.
And some player decides they're going to break the rules and then they get, you know, cut from the team. Well, then we're going to hear how un-American it is, how they're violating rights, how it's discriminatory against minorities or whoever does it. It's going to be a firestorm. And the fact is, they have every right to demand that of you.
And there were already owners saying, "Well, I'm not going to fine my players or the team. I'll take the hit. I'll just pay it."
Yeah, the Saints owner, I think, said that already.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. Again, it's your business. And if you want to pay the fine for the guy,
how long are you going to pay the fine? Yeah, that's what I want. That's my question. How long does you paying the fine last before you think, you know?
And how much is the fine? How much is the fine?
We don't know. Right?
They haven't said, as far as I know. If the fine is significant, you know, if you're going to take a bite out of you, make it $500,000 or $1 million every time you violate it, then maybe people aren't violating it anymore.
And is it per player? Or is it if, you know, 10 or 15 players come out and kneel, does each one get a fine? Or does just the team get a fine? That was not discussed either.
As usual, they didn't.
No.
They didn't really do much.
No, they did not.
But again, it'll be on them. And their product will just suffer. If people, if they don't enforce this well and it all falls apart, Well, then I guess you can probably expect continuing ratings declines and discontent with the NFL from now, your fans.
If you're a network, do you decide? Obviously, they want the controversy, it appears. But if I'm a network, I say we vote to not carry the national anthem and we only show the beginning of the game. We start the game at kickoff. And then
maybe we're in commercials.
And we don't talk about if players kneeled. We don't talk about any of that. We just talk about the game.
That'd be the great way to handle it, but they won't because
they want. I know.
Yeah. The sportscasters and these networks want to make statements. And they want to make this statement that this protest. They all seem to be on the side.
They sure do.
Of the players protesting.
They sure do.
Have you heard any sportscasters say, you know what?
No.
These guys don't know what they're talking about.
As a matter of fact, no. And I heard a local sportscaster this morning, as a matter of fact, all on the side that they can do it. And I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
You know, sports announcing is really no different from other forms of reporters and reporting.
No, that's what I mean.
They all come from the same pool.
Yeah.
Where they've been indoctrinated their whole lives, and then especially in college when they're preparing for their job situation, they get indoctrinated to about the 10th power, and then they come out and they all have the same point of view. So they're made for each other. And that's why it's so difficult as a conservative to watch this stuff and to listen to them open their mouths about this. Just agonizing. Can we just get away from it and just love football and the experience that we've all come to enjoy? Especially after a long, hard summer in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where it's going to be 100 degrees every stinking day. And
by the way, it already is starting.
And we've got all the politics. Yeah, it starts next week. Like next Wednesday, 103, Thursday, 105, Friday, 105, Saturday, 104.
It's not even officially summer yet, is it? First day.
No, not till June 21st. So they beat us down with heat and politics all summer long, and you just want that respite. Let me just get away and turn everything off and watch some football this weekend. And then it's right there in your face again.
Yeah.
I hate it. But again, President Trump had to take it just a little too far.
I mean, frankly, they're going to stand proud. And you know what? If they don't stand, they're going to get out of the country.
Right.
Now, of course, you know he does it. I mean, he knows you don't have to get out of the country. He does. I mean, let's give the guy the benefit of the doubt. But that is the Trump way.
Yes.
This interview, his response is the Trump way. We're just going to push it till the end.
And it worked for him. I mean, it got him elected.
It sure did.
So, there's no reason for him, apparently, to back off any of that. Interesting situation with the bishop from the United States who married the royal couple, Harry and Meghan, over the weekend. He is speaking out about our president and his policies.
Probably loves him.
Oh,
he's saying good. I mean, all good things. I personally don't know those quotes, but I'm guessing love.
That's a strong guess.
I'm guessing love,
Jeffy. If you've lived in a cave for the last 20 years, that's a really good guess.
Okay.
Now, if you've been paying attention, not so good a guess. Also, we're going to talk about Spotify and their hate content and who's working with them to curb the hate content and the music that they play.
Excellent. We need that.
We need this, too. We need this in our lives because we can't figure out for ourselves who to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
How do I know? Please, Spotify, help me. Edit my choices. You know, keep content away from me that I just can't handle.
Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate it. Look, Facebook's doing it, helping me.
Facebook is helping.
Twitter is starting to help. It's real nice. That's nice of them. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Now, a person, say, like the president, can't decide who to block on his Twitter account, but Twitter can decide if you get to see the president's tweets or not.
I haven't heard either. On that ruling from a judge, from a federal judge the other day about Trump and his Twitter account, that's mind-boggling. that's something that should be contested and appealed. I haven't heard whether they're going to.
I don't know. Probably they probably won't. It's probably unblockable.
You can tell a guy what he can and can't do with his personal Twitter account,
social media account. Yeah.
Sorry, you can't block anyone. Wait, what? What?
You're the president. Yeah, there's a POTUS account.
Right, there's a White House account, and if you want to control that, all right, it's somewhat understandable, but not his personal account.
Yeah, no, it was my account prior to presidency. It'll be my account post presidency.
Yeah, and you can tell me who to block and who not to. No, I'm sorry. 888-900 or 888-727-BECK. More of Pat and Jeffy for Glenn coming up.
Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. This Jim Carrey story is sad.
It is.
You know, he's squandering all the goodwill he built up over the last, 25 years or whatever it's been.
I want to like Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I did like Jim Carrey, but he's making it really tough now, and apparently he doesn't care. Maybe he's set to the point where it doesn't matter that his career has gone completely south on him now.
I hope he is. I mean, bless his heart, I hope he is. I mean, I want to like him. And we talked about his new movie the other day, the one that was shot
straight
in Poland,
to video.
And I watched the trailer last night. Mm-hmm. And the trailer looks okay. The trailer's okay. It's really dark, sex mm-hmm. slaves and detective. And
yeah, that doesn't seem okay.
I like that kind of stuff.
What a surprise.
I bet.
That's stunning. Like a lot of people just drove off the road hearing that statement. No.
Really?
Jeffy likes dark? Huh.
Whoa. The dark detective struggles. Uh-huh. Anyway, but the reviews were so terrible. That means that the scenes in between the good stuff on the trailer were mm-hmm. really bad.
It got a zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's too bad.
A zero.
I'll watch it when I can Amazing. Watch it with the payment that I'm already paying on another service. I'm not going to pay extra for it.
What do they want for it on demand? $6, $5.99.
Yeah, rent is $6.
Yeah. So he's had a string of bombs.
Yeah.
And now he's also so socially conscious. He's just trying to he's trying to wake up Americans to the horror of gun violence, and he's doing it in such a poignant and powerful way with a painting that depicts a bullet-ridden classroom with a new version of the Pledge of Allegiance written on the wall behind the dead bodies. It says,
I pledge allegiance. Oh, well, I'll do it together if you'd like to, just as a classroom. I mean, I'm all good with that. Let's.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the gun makers for whom it stands. One nation, under greed, indefensible, with butchery and injustice for the most innocent of all.
That's
just... That's
Come
just
on.
I bleed stupid and irritating.
You know, he filmed this last movie in Poland. Maybe you moved there, Jim.
Yeah.
Maybe you just moved to Poland.
Well, if you hate this country so much, and if it's built on butchery and injustice for the most innocent of all, how do you live here and continue to support this government with your taxpaying dollars? I mean, that's somewhat hypocritical of you, I would say.
Yes.
It's a guy that, I mean, you're famous for Ace Ventura Pet Detective. Relax, okay? We don't need to hear politics from you.
Well, he's an American. He's got just as much right.
Sure does. But
yes, he does.
But he's wrecking it. And, maybe he's in such a place in his life where his career has earned him enough money. I mean, there was a point where he's making $20 million a movie, $25 million a movie.
Look, I was just looking at the top 10 movies from Jim Carrey.
Yeah, they're all huge.
Huge. And you thought, number 10 is Lemony Snicket's.
That's his 10th highest grossing?
$149 million.
Okay.
Almost $150 million. Horton mm-hmm. Hears a Who. $170 million.
Okay. Yeah, that's just a voiceover, though. That one's not... Okay.
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls,
mm-hmm.
$197 million. The Truman Show, $212 million.
Which I love.
Me too.
That's a great movie.
$212 million. The Mask, 227 million.
Another movie I liked a lot.
I mean, it just, and the list continues on the next page, which I don't have open.
I love it when you have to continue to click through these. It's really convenient, really handy.
Dumb and Dumber
is what
235.
What are we up to here?
Number five.
Five.
Liar, Liar, 313 million.
All right.
Bruce Almighty, 318 million.
Wow. Wow.
Batman Forever, 335 million.
Mm-hmm. And this is just North American take.
Number
this
one is Grinch, 381.
So his number one movie was How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And that was in the year 2000. Hard to believe it was that long ago.
Boy, no kidding.
It was 18 years ago. It seems like that was his last monster hit. Too.
Sure does.
And so,
think of that. So he's got a long time.
Yeah.
Long time without doing something that was, well, he stopped being funny, right? He took himself serious.
Yes.
He could have, there could have been more stupid funny movies developed then, but he started taking himself serious, right? So he didn't want to do that.
He turned into David Letterman. He's an angry old man.
Yeah. And the same kind of creature.
Where spewing vitriol was more important to him than entertaining his fans. So, you know, whatever. Good for you. We don't have to see your movies. And we're not even being subjected to them in the movie theater anymore because they're so bad they're going straight to video now and on demand.
Right.
God, it's really hard to believe.
Sure is.
That he's fallen to these depths. We've got this interesting story today about an... I'm not going to say the name of the actual thing because that'll spark your device to kick on. But the Amazon Echo device in your room might be secretly recording your conversation. Yeah. I know you don't care. You should, but you don't. And in some cases, it could not only record your conversation in your house without you asking it to, but then send it to some random person on your contact list.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
That's what happened to a family in Portland. They had their conversation at home recorded and sent to a random person on their list. The family was alerted by a colleague in Seattle who had received the audio file. After confirming the audio file was indeed a recording of their private conversation, the family went on to unplug all of their devices. It's probably a good move. When contacted by the family, Amazon said, we take privacy very seriously, but they downplayed the incident as an extremely rare occurrence. I'm kind of surprised that it could happen at all.
Well, Pat, we're taking steps to avoid this from happening in the future. Shut up.
That's really good customer service, Jeffy.
Thank you. Thanks
should
for calling.
Work for Amazon.
Thanks for calling.
Because, man, you are a helper. That was
thank you. Appreciate it.
It was really genius customer service. Here's what they said. This is the excuse from Amazon. Echo woke up due to a word in background conversation sounding like Alexa.
See.
Then the subsequent conversation was heard as a send message request, at which point the Echo system said out loud, to whom? At which point, the background conversation was interpreted as a name in the customer's contact
list.
There
you go.
Then it asked out loud, for instance, the contact name. So if it's Bob Davis, Bob Davis, right? Alexa then interpreted the background conversation as right. And they claim, as unlikely as this string of events is, we are evaluating options to make this case even less likely.
Right.
That's convoluted. But they don't want it to seem like that's happening on purpose, because that would doom the Echo system everybody's home. That is one catchy tune, isn't it?
Like it.
Speaking of which, some of your favorite catchy tunes may not be available anymore on Spotify. Spotify has... Spotify can't decide for themselves what is hate content and what isn't. We can't decide for ourselves what's hate content and whether or not we want to listen to it. So what they've done is partner with several organizations who are going to help them decide what should and shouldn't be available on their app. So
it's so nice of them.
Yeah. they're not even trying to pretend like there's any objectivity here. These are just extreme left-wing organizations. They released a comment that's or a statement that said, "We do not tolerate hate content on Spotify." Spotify defines hate content as content that expressly and principally promotes, advocates, or incites hatred or violence against a group or individual based on characteristics, including race, religion, gender identity, sex, ethnicity, nationality, sexual orientation, veteran status, or disability. Whew.
Wow.
It's a lot of categories.
Sure is.
Okay, but that, I mean, that sounds fine. Whatever. We don't want to discriminate against anybody. And gosh, if you heard a song that did, you just have to become a hater and go after whoever it was that they were singing about.
Imagine for a moment you're listening to Spotify and a song comes on that you don't care for.
Mm-hmm.
And it says some things that you just don't like.
You couldn't skip it on
what
your own.
What would happen right? to you? I mean, your life would be in shambles.
It would. Mm-hmm. It'd probably drive you over the top and start beating the person nearest to you. What else are you going to do?
Nothing.
You're just going to turn it off? No.
No, stop.
No. Are you going to just skip it?
Skip ahead to the next song?
Yeah. Impossible. No, you can't. You can't do any of that.
You're just transfixed right there.
This is amazing. They announced to help us identify hate content, we have partnered with rights advocacy groups, including the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, my gosh.
Right up at the tippy top. Maybe the worst organization, one of the worst organizations in America. An organization that lists David Barton as a terrorist. Why? Because, that guy's dangerous. You know what he talks about? The United States Constitution. We can't have that in our society. Why? Why would you have a guy who advocates for the Constitution talking in public about things? You wouldn't.
It's hard for me even to make the joke of, well, they got that one right.
I know.
It's David Barton.
So, Southern Poverty Law Center, the Anti-Defamation League, Color of Change, Jones Group.
Excellent.
Yeah, they're excellent people.
Helpers.
They spearheaded boycotts against Glenn, Bill O'Reilly, Trump's inauguration. These are wonderful people. Showing Up for Racial Justice, or SURGE, is going to be part of this. GLAAD, Muslim Advocates.
Good.
And
again,
the
good.
International Network Against Cyber Hate. Tremendous. Tremendous. Muslim Advocates. Where are the Christian advocates here? There aren't any. Not involved in this, anyway.
Huh. Huh.
So, this is really, I think these are the groups that can help you sort through your musical options.
Now, for some reason, and I'm just gonna throw this out there, it doesn't feel that way.
Really? Well, no. When
you went down the list of
listen to some of these
groups.
What they're doing. SURGE is dedicated to fighting white supremacy. They're trying to get Confederate statues removed. And they're supporting the anti-Trump resistance. The resistance to the American president. GLAAD, of course, is the LGBTQIA activist group that attacks the Trump administration on a daily basis.
Nice.
Even though...
You got the IA in there, too. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm all-inclusive.
Okay.
You know that about me. Even though Donald Trump is the most gay-friendly president to have ever been elected.
Oh, my friend.
Am I off on that?
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, are you
I know.
Off?
I know. Muslim Advocates has joined with groups like CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, to attack anti-jihadist Muslims like Zudi Jasser, another dangerous man, to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And the International Network Against Cyber Hate, they've partnered with leftist groups like, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who is also on this list.
Now you just went down the list again.
I did.
And it doesn't seem like they're the groups you'd want to be doing that.
Because they seem like just exactly the groups who we want to eliminate hate.
Huh, know,
that's really weird. How could we be at such opposite ends of the spectrum
I don't
here?
Know.
Very, very strange. So I...
Do you use Spotify?
I was just starting to consider using it because everybody tells me it's better than Pandora. So much better than Pandora. And I was like, okay, well, let me do this. Now? No.
I used both for a while. And
was Spotify better?
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I rarely use it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it was better than Pandora. Pandora was a little frustrating. But, I mean, oh, well.
I mean, what kind of business decision is that? Again, do you not care about the right half of your fan base?
No.
People who are using your system? How can you be this blind?
I don't understand it either, but they are. And they don't seem to care at all.
It's really kind of mind-boggling. And first of all, in the first place, we don't need anybody doing this. If there are songs with, the N-word, the F-word, songs about hating people or degrading women, can we not make our own decisions?
Well, sure you can, but they're going to help you with that.
Yes, they are. It's frustrating because everybody's going this direction.
It feels that way. I mean, that gets you back to the NFL, right? Don't they see how it's hurting their business? Don't they see how it's affecting the way they're looked at? They don't care.
No, they really don't.
They don't care.
They really don't. And again, not caring about all of this stuff is what led to the Donald Trump presidency.
Right.
Because people are so sick and tired of it. All right. Well, if you don't care about anything in my life, I'm going to vote for a guy who does and who's going to fight you straight on, full frontal battle against the left. And he talks about it every day.
Yes, he does.
And so...
yes, he does. And while he knows, just like he said to Kilameade, he knows in his heart, you can't make people leave America for not standing for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he feels... and the way many people in America feel is that when the national anthem is played, stand up.
And if you don't like it, get out.
Thank you.
That is how we feel.
I know.
Because we're beaten down with it every single day. From Spotify, from the NFL, from every organization we like and respect, from movies, from actors like Jim Carrey. It's everywhere, and we're just sick to death of it.
I mean, we have actors who I love, and they're telling me that they won't sit in the same restaurant with our president. Shut up.
And in that case, Robert De Niro, he actually banned the president from his fabulous restaurant chain, as we talked about the other day, and his hotels.
Has anyone asked President Trump?
No, I don't think they have the nerve.
Surviving?
I don't think they have the nerve because they know he's devastated.
I know.
They know he, without the option of going into one of Robert De Niro's sushi restaurants, he can't live a full and complete life. He just can't.
Well, if nobody will ask him, I will. Chris, if we can get the president on today, put in a call.
We don't have time to talk to him right here, but maybe later. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Maybe later. And speaking of these actors, there's another one, and he's a big actor. We mentioned this. It broke right at the end of the show yesterday. Morgan Freeman. They have some of the supposed problems that were recorded. They have him on tape.
So
they have him talking to women.
I tried to stick up a little bit for Morgan as yesterday, and you poo-pooed me. Mm-hmm. Because Morgan, everything is that a female says about a man is true. Always.
Well, that's how we're taking it right now.
I know.
That's how we're taking it.
And
it's a little bit dangerous.
Very dangerous. And some of what's been said about Morgan.
Well, one of the things that was said is that he's staring at women. Oh, okay. And? Don't look at him. Don't think about it. Move on.
I mean...
leave the room.
Okay.
It's kind of...
okay, so, all right, let's say he is staring at women. All right. And we'll say... and for some, that would be creepy.
Uh-huh. Well, here's...
others, it would not.
Here's one of the incidents that everybody's talking about with one of the reporters that's talking to him on a press junket.
Carol, the impetus for this investigation...
Hi, how are you?
I'm better now.
Thanks. I don't have any magic tricks. I kind of feel like I
yes,
showed
do.
Up for dinner
yes,
without
you
anything.
Do.
Yes, you do.
Oh, oh man.
Baby, you got a lot of magic going for you. Now, the music in the background is, I guess, the ambiance, the background music that was in the room at the time, so we can't help
it. I wouldn't worry about that.
Worry about that.
You got magic written all over you, child.
Oh, thank you. That's good medicine for a single girl.
Ooh. I'm single, too.
Are you?
Yes.
Or are you enjoying that?
I'm enjoying bachelor life immensely. I get to
let her know he's single
and drool.
Don't
respond to it.
Right? Indeed.
So he can look at her and drool. Now he's obviously coming on to her.
Yep. I'm living bachelor life. I'm enjoying living a bachelor life. Mm-hmm. Letting you know I'm single
and I can look at you and drool.
You got the magic, and man, does that sound horrific. I mean, I don't know how this girl is actually doing an interview about it.
Right. And there's more.
Oh, no.
There's another entertainment reporter that talks about
if
her
it's
situation.
As bad as this one, I don't know that we can air it.
It's maybe worse. Listen to this.
I think that's good. I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still.
That's Donald Trump. This is the reporting question.
Carol, the impetus for this investigation was actually my own experience with Morgan Freeman at a junket last year for the movie Going in Style.
Okay.
Right when I walked into the room, he began making sexually suggestive comments to me. Now, as an entertainment reporter for over a decade, it was unlike anything I truly have ever experienced. One of those comments was caught on tape. In this comment that's on tape, he says to me, "Boy, do I wish I was there," while looking me up and down. I was 6 months pregnant at the time, and his co-stars Alan Arkin and Michael Caine were seated on either side of him and actually looked at him when he made this comment to me.
Okay, are you getting the gravity of this situation? It was so bad that his two co-stars actually looked at him after he said it. They looked at him.
I'll tell you what. The reason they looked at him is because you were pregnant. And most guys don't think it's weird to like a pregnant woman.
Okay. Pat? I'm very uncomfortable with...
I'm just saying most guys do. Right?
No. Not that I know of. That was a bizarre statement right there. You're going to be the subject of one of these.
And it was caught on tape. And take a note of Freeman's eyes in this clip.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, we can't on radio.
One time I congratulated the woman on being pregnant, and she wasn't. No, I've never done it again. For 50 years, I've never done it.
You've learned your lesson.
I learned my lesson.
Boy, do I wish I was there.
This movie is...
Okay, did you hear that horrific comment?
Whoa.
Boy, do I wish I was there.
Now, according to her, he was looking at her at the same time he said that.
Mm-hmm.
How is she doing any more reporting?
I don't know.
How is she doing any more reporting?
I don't know. Is that too far? Boy, do I wish I was there. I'm not even sure what he means by that. You could draw certain conclusions.
Sure.
But they might not be right.
And by the way, if that's the same one that said that was the worst.
That's the worst she's had in 10 years of reporting. Yeah.
She should walk the streets of Times Square for a couple hours.
Oh, she'd hear much worse.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, who returns Tuesday. 888-727-BECK. Irwin in Florida. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Howdy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I love the show. What I wanted say was... basically, I think a lot of people, I don't interpret it as the president is trying to be fascist or dictator or basically, you know, enforce things that way. I just take it as, like, personally, I have frustration. A lot of Americans have frustration about people whining and crying and complaining and constantly trying to push their agenda and their sob story and everything on us. So,
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, it's just kind of, I related it to like when somebody says, hey, you know, if you hate the country so bad, then
get out.
Leave.
Yes.
Get out.
Yes.
It's just like,
it's just that, you know, he's the president now and those kinds of statements carry some weight.
Yeah, they do.
However, he's just being hyperbolic when he says things like that.
It's just Trump.
It is Donald Trump being Donald Trump. But you're right, Irwin. Appreciate the call. But the problem is then the left-wing media takes that and runs with it. And that's why, you know, he runs into trouble with kind of stuff.
You have to get out.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. Glenn's back Tuesday morning. The Me Too movement heated up again yesterday. First of all, Harvey Weinstein turned himself in. And so he's in jail right now awaiting, I think awaiting a hearing.
Yes.
Later on today.
Yes, he's had, they're taking him for a hearing later today.
So he's in some serious, serious trouble with the accusations against him, because some of the accusations are that he raped women. Also, Morgan Freeman's reputation was called into question yesterday as well. I mean, here's a guy who's revered.
He sure is.
Absolutely revered by people. And he's already apologized for it. You know, in kind of the way that, yeah, I don't know that I did anything wrong, but if you're upset by whatever I did, I'm sorry. It was kind of one of those things. But one of the reporters had this to say about an experience with him on a press junket.
One of those comments was caught on tape. In this comment that's on tape, he says to me, "Boy, do I wish I was there," while looking me up and down.
Oh, no.
I was six months pregnant at the time, and his co-stars, Alan Arkin and Michael Caine, were seated on either side of him and actually looked at him.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Can you process all of that?
No, I mean,
it was so horrifying that the two men seated on either side of him actually looked at him. They looked at him. Now, you know, it's got to be bad for those two to look at him.
I mean, they're sitting right there.
And then they look at him.
Look at him.
When he made this comment to me, again, it was caught on tape. And take a note of Freeman's eyes in this clip.
All right.
One time I congratulate the woman on being pregnant, and she wasn't.
Now, this is Michael Caine talking to the reporter at first.
And so I've never done it again. For 50 years, I've never done it.
You've learned your lesson.
I learned my lesson.
Lord, do I wish I was there.
This movie is...
Huh. Okay. So he's talking about... Michael Caine is talking about one time... He asked a woman when she was due and she wasn't pregnant. Right. So he learned his lesson. He's never asked a woman again. She says, "You learned your lesson." And Morgan Freeman says, "Boy, do I wish I was there." I don't know. I don't know what he's referring to there. I guess you could make something sexual and weird out of that. I don't know that he meant it that way.
But here's the thing.
Yeah. The two co-stars looked at him.
So
you know it was bad.
Yeah.
You know it was bad. And he probably belongs in prison.
I mean, there's a lot of people. There's probably today, I would guess that there's fewer than should be people in prison because other people looked at each other when they said something.
For sure. I think that's true. That's a good statement, Jeffy. It's powerful. Michelle in Iowa, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Morgan Freeman was responding to Michael Caine's comment.
Possible.
Being called out.
I think that's a possibility.
It absolutely is.
So he's saying, because Caine is saying, I learned my lesson, and he's saying, "Boy, I wish I was there," meaning that I've learned my lessons too. Is that what you're getting out of it?
I think he was referring to that he wishes he would have been there to observe Michael Caine being chewed out by...
Okay. Could be that, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that, yeah.
Okay, well, there's a couple of different ways take that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you. So either way you take it, any way you take it, it isn't... And even if it was... I wish I was there with, you know, Morgan Freeman creepy eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't.
True.
I mean, he was right. He wasn't.
Yeah. It was something
so
spoken.
You can wish. You can't wish you were someplace anymore if you're someplace else, right? Especially if Alan Arkin and Michael Caine
looked
at you.
And they did. But I don't know. This is where we are.
It sure is
in this Me Too movement. This. Everything you have to read into his statement there quite a bit
sure
to get
do.
Something super creepy out of it. it seems to me, boy, I wish I was there. Okay. What does that mean? Okay. Where do you wish you were? With Michael Caine to see the situation he's talking about? You want to be with the pregnant woman? I don't know. I don't know.
You want to be there that you've learned your lesson and not say bad things to? I don't know.
Could have been absolutely innocent. But he's apologizing for.
Right. I mean, Morgan Freeman was going to say, look,
I didn't mean to offend anybody. If you were offended, I'm sorry.
Sorry. And, I'm 80. I'm Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
And what's being claimed by this woman, and I think another one, right? There's a couple that have spoken
There's
out.
Eight. There are eight.
Eight that have spoken out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But all eight are just inappropriate behavior, right? I mean, like he's
inappropriate behavior.
Or because the one girl was
innuendo, and some have said he touched them inappropriately. Like we had the story yesterday of the dress,
right?
And then Alan Arkin told him to stop trying to lift up her dress,
and he did.
But you shouldn't have been trying to lift up her dress. I mean, we can all agree on that. Most of us can agree on that.
Okay.
Also, the bishop, who was so widely praised at last weekend's royal wedding. He's an American bishop and went over there and performed the ceremony for Harry and Meghan. Episcopal presiding bishop Michael Curry, who made headlines for his role at Britain's Prince Harry and Meghan Markle wedding.
It's such a beautiful wedding, too.
Bro, are you kidding me? That was just, it was a storybook, Jeffy. It was just a storybook.
Such a beautiful wedding.
If only I could have gotten up to see it. Wow, that would have been so special.
I can send you, I've got the download.
No, that's all right. I wouldn't want you to have to go through
the whole thing.
No, it's okay. I just, you know, it's too late now.
I'll just put it up in the cloud. You can watch it whenever you want.
It's too late. But the bishop has previously branded Trump's America First policy a theological heresy for the followers of Christ.
What?
He also decried the Trump administration as a crisis of moral and political leadership at the highest levels of our government. Joining with other pastors and people of faith, Curry stated the Reclaiming Jesus action with worship that overflowed at Washington's National City Church and then helped lead a candlelight vigil that moved from the church to Lafayette Square Park across the street from the White House where they protested Donald Trump.
Oh, good.
And in part, his America First policy. Now, it doesn't explain in this article, how is that heresy? America First. So you're the president of the United States. You should put some other nation first?
Right. I mean, that's his job.
It's absolutely the job of the American president to put this country first, fix the problems here first, and then we can fix others. How is that heresy?
I don't know.
I guess you should put starving nations first, maybe. But if you don't fix yourself, you can't be of much use to other people.
No other country in the world does for other countries what we do here through the government and through
the people.
Private.
Right.
So, or public, right. Public don't.
Yes.
What more do you want?
Our public and private donations almost exceed the rest of the world's combined.
We're having an argument still to this day about build a wall, don't build a wall, because people are flooding into this country.
We're just supposed to allow it, I guess. According to some of these boneheads, we're just supposed to let everybody who wants to come in. And then when we collapse, who then is going to help the people that are flooding in? When we collapse on the weight of everybody just storming into our country, then who will help them? Then where will the poor go? Then who's going to be the beacon for the world? You've got to address your own problems first and then be able to take care of somebody else. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. It's Pat Gray Join me on Pat Gray Unleashed, too, immediately following this program every weekday.
Noon
Eastern.
Like Monday.
Yeah, like Monday, Tuesday. Well, not this coming Monday because, it's Memorial Day.
I know, but if you're mm-hmm. around, listen, because it's a really good replay.
It's the best of. Mm-hmm.
Really good.
And so we'll be back on Tuesday live with that show. And as Glenn will be back on Tuesday for this one. We've been talking a little bit about Morgan Freeman, several things, but Morgan Freeman among them. Now, one of the things that happened was on this press junket, he said something so atrocious that his two co-stars looked at him. And the atrocious thing he said was, boy, I wish I was there. Nobody knows exactly what he meant by that.
But, even if he meant, wish I was there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he meant that.
Even if he meant that, what?
Wishing he was there. Okay.
Are you saying that's okay if he meant that?
He wasn't. You can't wish you were someplace else.
Yeah, I know, but it's just creepy for the guy to be talking to the reporter that way. Now, he was talking to another reporter at a different press junket. And he was clearly coming on to
her. This one he clearly
clearly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm better now.
Better now, baby.
I don't have any magic tricks. I kind of feel like I showed up for dinner without anything.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Got magic written all over you, child.
Thank you.
That's good.
And she's smiling and playing along at this point, but I don't know. You'd be uncomfortable and you wouldn't know how exactly to handle that, even if you didn't like it, right?
I mean,
but is it a huge deal if this 79 or however old he was at the time is coming on to this young reporter?
I mean, this is on the tour for the Magic movies, right?
Yeah, so for the Now You See
Me. 6 years ago or whatever, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was still young and virile. And, mm-hmm. I mean, is that a little fun?
Well, that's kind of what we're going to have to decide. Is it appropriate still for men to... hit on women. Now, she didn't say, stop it. I'm uncomfortable with that. Don't do this. She didn't say any of that. So maybe he thinks he's got a green light to continue to flirt with her.
Continue to flirt with her. And then he might even, in the end, if he says, hey, look, you want to go, have some dinner, want to go here, go do that. That's when she can say yes or no, right?
Yes. Well, that's how it's been in the past.
Right.
But kind of now with the Me Too movement, I guess there's no way that you ever begin a relationship.
Yeah, I don't know how you would do that because you can't wish you were someplace else.
Right. Okay, you can't have other people look at you.
And you can't be happy that you got a little magic going on. I'll tell you that right now. Don't worry about it.
And he's got that tone in his voice here. This one is.
I know. He's clearly. Yeah.
He's clearly hitting on her.
Don't worry about that.
Or just being playfully, flirtatious with her. But and is it appropriate for a, I don't know how old he was at this time, maybe 74, 75, and she's maybe 30 or younger?
Don't you worry about that.
I mean, that does happen in our society.
Yes, it does. Especially when you're a man like, Morgan Freeman.
Sure. Rich, famous, actor, handsome, still pretty good looking. I don't know.
I would joke around if I was a reporter with him.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd wish I was there.
That doesn't surprise me much.
But I'm just saying, mm-hmm. You're right. I don't know how where you begin a relationship now, right?
Yeah.
I don't know where that begins.
That's an honest assessment of where we are right now. I don't know how you approach a woman. If you're a single man and you find her attractive and you would like to maybe date her or start a relationship, how do you begin that process? Apparently in the workplace, you can't.
You can't.
Outside of the workplace, can you?
I don't know.
Well, she's complaining about it. So, I don't know. Maybe you can't outside of the workplace either.
I don't know the answer.
Somebody's going to have to come up with the set of rules that are acceptable now in 2018 for men and women to...
and not
together.
The generic, well, you just can't be creepy, because that's been a common thread, I don't know, since day one.
And creepy is in the eyes of the beholder. She might find that romantic. She might find that interesting. She might like it.
He's done that before, and the females have said, don't be creepy. And then they walk off into the flower shop and have a cup of coffee. Who knows? I don't know.
Is that where you have a cup of coffee?
Yes,
is it
do.
A flower
you never
shop?
Had a coffee shop at a flower house?
No.
That's what I do now because I'm mad at Starbucks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not going to Starbucks. All right, I'm getting my coffee at the flower shop.
All right.
And that I don't care.
It's a powerful statement,
Jeffy. Even if somebody looks at me, Pat, I don't care.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Do you wish you were there at the flower shop, coffee shop now?
I sure do.
Yeah. Wow. I'm a little uncomfortable right now. Very, very uncomfortable. And I saw our cameraman look at you. He looked at you when you said that.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, no.
But what are the parameters of relationships now?
I know.
It's pretty confusing, isn't it?
It sure is.
I'm glad I'm not single in this environment, because what are you going to do? What are you going to do without being creepy, without being inappropriate, without having bad behavior screamed at the top of somebody's lungs? At you, that's bad behavior. You're creepy. Well, I was just trying to, you know, maybe get her phone number. Maybe go out.
No one else to do. You know.
And doesn't it usually start with flirting?
It's supposed to. No, it has in the past.
It has in the past.
It's not supposed to.
Right.
It has in the past.
Right. And there was nothing wrong with that in the past. With a man flirting with a woman, or vice versa.
And, well, then we got into, we told you Harvey Weinstein being turned himself in today, and now he's going in front of a judge for bail, you know, later today. And they walked him out in handcuffs. Okay. You know, I guess they had to, but come on. He turned himself in.
You've got some sympathy for Harvey, too.
You give him the perp walk with handcuffs. Come on. But anyway.
He's not been convicted of anything.
No, he has not.
And we
these are only
that.
Two cases against him now in Manhattan. Two cases.
Out of 88, they've charged him with two things. That's amazing.
Right, I know.
Wow.
And he's denied it.
He's denied any wrongdoing,
And he turned himself
non-consensual.
In.
Non-consensual.
He turned himself in. I mean, obviously that's the deal, but I mean, he turned himself in, and they give him the handcuff perp walk. So, okay, whatever, that's fine. But his brother... Mm-hmm. Got into trouble for trying to go out on a date with a woman.
Yeah, Bob Weinstein.
She said no.
He asked her out several times.
She was all creeped out about it. He was like, I just wanted to go out on a date.
Yeah. He didn't, apparently, I don't think she even accused him of touching her inappropriately or any of that.
Inappropriate behavior or something, right?
Yes, I mean, because he was asking her out repeatedly. And again, you used to think, well, she's playing hard to get. She wants to see how interested I am. So I'm going to show her.
I'm going to be interested.
And it used to be that was basically okay in most cases. Unless you take it too far and she's absolutely shut you down and she's told you to stop forever and then you keep going. I don't know. Where do you draw that line?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's the thing.
And by the way,
I don't know.
And I have very little sympathy for Harvey Weinstein, by the way. He's a dirtbag. We all know he is.
Yes.
That's clear.
We all suspect very strongly that he is.
Yes.
And while he hasn't been convicted of anything yet,
he has not.
He's going to be.
there's a mountain of evidence leaning the other way.
Yeah, there is.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So CNN's Lou Dobbs was speaking to Sebastian Gorka on his show about about Secretary Pompeo. And
I like Sebastian Gorka.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any problem with him. And I think Pompeo seems pretty good so far, too. But Dobbs was taking issue with Mike Pompeo.
And I do find it stunning that Mike Pompeo in office just a matter of weeks has already started using the first person singular as if he were working for President Obama rather than President Donald Trump, who is always, without exception, in my experience, he talks about America, Americans, we. And suddenly we have a newly minted Secretary of State who is talking about himself in the first person. It is singular. It is, to me, off-putting. Your thoughts?
My thoughts.
You have nothing to worry about.
Well, I disagree with Sebastian Gorka there. Because if he's using first-person singular, the next thing you know, he's going to be dangling his participles. And he might even throw in subordination conjunction. I don't know. And if he does that, I think he has to be removed from office.
I mean,
is that one of the weirdest lines of questioning you've ever heard? Our secretary is using first person singular. Your thoughts? I think it's okay. I don't really.
My thoughts. Did anyone look at him, Wolf?
when he referred to himself in first person singular, did two people on either side of him look at him? That would have been a good follow-up question. Because if you know that part of it, you know how serious it is. Right.
I will say that on a serious note, yes. I don't know that he'll be using that first person too long when Trump hears this. Because Trump will say, you'd be saying either me or we.
Yes, that's true. Or refer to the president this, the president that. First person singular probably won't work.
No, it will not
for Mike Pompeo.
No, it will not
in the scope of doing his job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Big picture, no way he gets away with that much longer.
We've had kind of an interesting situation this week in the Dallas-Fort Worth area concerning a Texas state trooper who was accused of sexually assaulting a woman, Sherita Dixon Cole, during a traffic stop last Sunday. Now, they're talking about facing charges for a false accusation now.
Yeah, it was amazing.
She claimed that he essentially raped her during the stop.
Put her hand, claiming that the officer A, didn't like her attitude, put his hand on her thigh, told her she could earn her way out of the predicament as he lifted her skirt, and she goes on to say that he did more.
Wow. So police, thank heaven for the body cam, because he had, what was it, like 2 hours?
Yeah,
body
cam footage, and they had footage from the jail after the arrest when they brought her in.
And nowhere did anything like she says happen. It did not happen that way at all. It was totally appropriate. He did give her a sobriety test, a field test, and he asked her to I think he asked her to take a breathalyzer, which she refused in the field but took in the office.
When you watch the video later on in the jail, she blows into a breathalyzer. My understanding was, and I'm trying to find it in the story, is that she never failed the breathalyzer. You know, my understanding was that's interesting. But I think that she was arrested for her, the police was like, for her safety. So the police officer may have thought that, the police officer obviously thought she was under the influence, whether it was alcohol or not. I don't know. It doesn't look like it.
But
but the whole thing was all respectful.
Respectful and appropriate.
Completely respectful.
Yeah, he didn't come on to her at all.
Showed up, and they were respectful to him. They were respectful to her the entire time.
Meanwhile, activist Sean King, the white black activist,
right,
pushed her fake narrative on national social media. So they're trying to make out like the police did something really inappropriate and sexually assaulted a woman during a traffic stop, and stir up all of that hatred again against the police department, and nothing of the kind happened.
Right. And so, he beat him up. He was on her side, claimed to be her friend. This was horrible. The police are bad. All police are bad. And then the evidence comes out, two hours of video. Cause that's when the troopers were like, no.
And then it's like, none of that seemed to happen, but why would she make this up? I don't know. It's happening all the time lately. How many body cams?
Right.
How many of these images have we seen in the last couple of weeks that have proven that the cops did nothing wrong? Over and over and over again. Several, one black woman, one black man, and now this woman, who is also black, have made false claims against the cops, have claimed racism, have said that the police did things that they didn't do at all, and it's proven out by their body cam footage.
According to Sherita, though, and this is in the King Medium article, to this very moment, Sherita Dixon Cole still insists everything that she said happened, actually happened. She claims the body camera footage must have been edited to remove the worst parts.
Come on now.
This is Sean. Sean says, this is not unthinkable. I have seen it happen before. Have you, Sean? But he goes on to say, it absolutely does not appear to have happened here. I mean, he still beats him up.
Right.
It could have happened,
but it doesn't look
before.
Like it did happen here.
I witnessed the video appears to be in its original form. I viewed it with an editing expert. They agree. Nothing horrible took place here. So we're going to beat him up for a little while, and then we're going to say down at the bottom, oh, everything's fine and it's wrong.
Man. Man, oh, man. And when are we going to prove definitively that Sean King is white? Is that ever going to happen? We've already proven it, but is he ever going to admit the fact that he's a white guy working for the NAACP? Sean,
I don't know whether he will or not. I doubt it.
Stop the madness, okay? But I mean, this should be a lesson to all police departments and all police officers nationwide. Never leave home without your body cam. Because it's exonerated several police officers, and a couple of them were right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area just recently. And here's one that was a really serious charge, where the woman claims that she was raped out in the field.
Yeah.
And he's got proof positive that that just didn't happen.
It didn't happen anywhere in the arrest, during the arrest.
Not only did it not happen, but he was incredibly polite and pleasant and professional.
The whole time. All the officers that you see on the video out in the field and when she was arrested in the jail were all top-notch.
Yeah. And I think
as top-notch as they can be, I mean, when you're being arrested. I mean,
exactly.
It's frustrating.
And dealing with people who are irritated
and
angry and didn't want the ticket that they got. They remain professional.
I know. It was
the whole time.
Yeah. But listen, Pat, it's not unheard of. It's not unthinkable that these parts have been edited. Yes. Now, that's not unthinkable, but it doesn't appear to have happened here. So bad.
I mean, there are ways you can tell. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Sean even said, I viewed it with an editing expert, and they agree. Nothing horrible took place here.
Yeah, so stop saying it's not unthinkable.
Right.
Just say it didn't happen.
He's got to have an 8-page Medium article to say, oh, sorry, I was wrong.
Jeez. Oh, and this is serious enough that they better charge this person.
Absolutely.
She better be charged.
Absolutely.
This has got to stop. Because when you're making false accusations like this, you're just stirring up racial discontent. And you're making a bad situation an awful lot worse. It's already a bad situation where the perception is that they're out there discriminating against blacks at every chance they get.
Right. And maybe the perception is to Sherita that she thought she could, you know, she would just throw that, you know, all the police and everyone would believe her. And, you know, that's obviously a marriage and what she thought. And, I mean, even Sean goes on to say she has no, you know, no arrest record, no mental health problems, respected college-educated professional. You know, the only way he said I've learned many years ago attempting to find a logical explanation for truly illogical behavior is a waste of time. He doesn't know why she did it.
Well, either she did it for attention, she did it to set up a lawsuit, or she did it to spark racial discontent.
Either way.
In any of those cases,
yes.
She deserves to be charged.
Absolutely.
With falsifying reports. 888-727-BECK. Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. He's back on Tuesday. 888-727-BECK. Speaking of white black people, as we were with Sean King, the activist Rachel Dolezal is back in the news. Remember her? She was the head of the NAACP.
Yeah.
In, I think, Spokane. Before we realized that she's a white person as the head of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, how Washington.
Dare you?
Well, now.
How dare you call her a white person?
Well, she is a white person, so.
She
identifies as black. She feels
like
black.
She's
yes.
black.
She does identify as black.
So stop so calling her
that
white.
That was wrong of me. It's a good point. Thank you, Jeffy, for correcting me on that. Now she is identifying as somebody who needs welfare, and that's kind of a problem. She said that her only source of income was $300 a month in gifts from friends. However, the welfare department found out that she had deposited nearly $84,000 in her bank account without reporting it.
I mean,
it's a little more than $300 a month.
It is, but it's easy to understand how you'd forget just $84,000.
It is. It is easy. Yeah, you could that'd slip your mind.
Right. You deposit it. Oh, that's right.
According to the investigation, the money came from the sales of Dolezal's autobiography, as well as the sale of her art, soaps, and handmade dolls.
So some of that, I wonder if that some of that came from Netflix, too, because she's got that Netflix autobiography, too.
Yeah, she's got a documentary.
It's not that much. You'd think it'd be more.
Well, I bought a lot of her soaps, and it was not that expensive, so maybe she's not making a lot from it. I don't know.
There's a lot of jokes to be made about the Rachel Dolezal soap, and I'm just going to let them go right now.
And the handmade dolls are nice, too. Bought some for my my granddaughters.
Now the dolls, yeah.
Yeah, they're great. Rachel Dolezal's. Authorities say that she illegally received $8,747 in food assistance and $100 in child care assistance.
So she's got 84 grand in the bank. She pays it off. She pays them their money back. It's under $10,000. Get it. Leave me alone. Right?
So
no, I'm just asking. I
don't know. I don't know. I doubt it. I think it's probably too late. She should have done that in the first place, but now she's in trouble.
Well, in the first place, she didn't know that she was... She forgot about putting the $84,000 in the bank account. She didn't know that she had falsely reported. Now they reminded her she could pay him back.
Well, now she's charged with perjury and making false verification for public assistance.
I mean, perjury is a little
tough. It's a felony.
A heartfelt forgetfulness. I don't want to be her attorney, so never mind. I hope she gets, if they get full restitution.
Yeah, I didn't even know until this article that she had a Netflix documentary.
Yeah, I didn't either. The Rachel Divide. I'm going to have to look for it because it'll be something that I may watch when I'm really sick.
I would have to be on my deathbed. And that would have to be the only option available to keep my mind off the pain that I'm in.
It's brand new. And you know what's good about it? It premiered at New York's the Tribeca Film Festival last month. So I bet.
You got to believe it's good.
De Niro loved it because that's De Niro's thing, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Tribeca?
Yes.
Yeah. Because he had a couple of interviews with his New York Times movie that's coming out. That portrays how tough it is for the New York Times and how good they are of telling stories right down the middle. And
oh, they're great. Make,
vetting everything and
sure.
And how bad Trump is. That was prior. Remember that audio of him at Tribeca? And that was prior to him kicking Trump out of the restaurants and hotels.
Yes.
But he was such a angry old putz at Tribeca.
Was. Yeah.
And slamming Trump and talking about how good his movie was and how good New York Times was, and then he gets that, and now they debuted the Rachel Divide at Tribeca too. That sounds like a fun place to go,
doesn't it? Though
I'd be a part of it.
Yeah. Speaking of fun places to go and movies released, today is the big day of Solo, A Star Wars Story.
You already reserved your seats?
Already got my tickets.
I knew it.
Yeah, we're going this afternoon.
Yeah, me too. I've got mine.
You should.
I do.
You should go. It's going to be
next week.
I heard a review on the way in, and it sounded like it might be pretty good. They said it was a typical, solid Star Wars event.
Wars people want, isn't
yes, it?
It
is what we Star Wars people want. And expect. I don't know if this is going to break any records or set the world on fire, but it just looks fun.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, who returns Tuesday morning. 888-727-BECK. We've got a lot of Me Too things going on today with the Harvey Weinstein surrender to authorities. And so he was let out in handcuffs. Have they had the bail hearing yet?
They
Is that happened?
They're supposed to be later today. Okay. They did not give a time.
Also, Morgan Freeman accused by 8 women of inappropriate behavior and touching in some circumstances. Now, the women that we've played so far have been like entertainment reporters, and right. It didn't sound like... on one, he's clearly hitting on a much younger woman.
But he also states that he's
single,
a bachelor.
Yeah, yeah.
And she seems to be somewhat playful. I know that she's, you know,
she
setting up for the interview and all that stuff. And
smiles,
we get
thanks
a ha
him.
Ha ha, aren't you funny? Let's do the interview.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem, it didn't seem too bad.
And the other one, where the woman is talking about, they're at a press junket, they're answering questions. There's 3 actors on stage. It's they were in a movie together. It's
Going in Style.
Yeah, Going in Style. It's Morgan Freeman, and on either side of him are Alan Arkin and
Michael Caine.
And the woman who is asking questions is pregnant, and Michael Caine is talking to her about that. And what ensues was all of this.
One of those comments was caught on tape. In this comment that's on tape, he says to me, "Boy, do I wish I was there," while looking me up and down. I was 6 months pregnant at the time, and his co-stars, Alan Arkin and Michael Caine, were seated on either side of him and actually looked at him.
Now, that is the phrase that has stunned both Jeffy and myself today. The actors who were on either side of them both looked at him. They, and more than that, they actually, as if this were something that you can't hardly believe, they actually looked at him. Whoa.
I don't know why that is so unbelievable.
I mean, they actually looked at him.
I was 6 months pregnant at the time.
Yeah, and he made a comment that was so horrendous.
And he, as he was looking at me, he said, "I wish you were there. I wish I was there."
Listen to how this plays out, and then you tell me. You tell
when
me.
When he made this comment to me, again, it was caught on tape. And take a note of
Freeman's
eyes in this clip.
Look at this.
Okay, hold on for a wild ride. You might want, if you're driving right now, you might want to pull over to the side of the road.
One time I congratulate the woman on being pregnant, and she wasn't.
And she wasn't.
And so I've never done it again. For 50 years, I've never done it.
You've learned your lesson.
I learned my lesson.
Boy, do I wish I was there.
This movie is...
Boy, do I wish I was there. Where? Anywhere you want to be, like a visa that he narrates all the time? Where? It's unclear what he even meant by that.
It is. It is unclear.
Yeah.
It actually is. When you listen to it, it is. He actually could be responding to Michael Caine.
Yes, he could.
Saying, "I wish I was there mentally."
Yes.
With not doing it anymore.
Right.
With learning his lesson.
Right.
And, but.
But here's the thing.
But.
They actually both
looked
at him. So you know it was horrific.
You know it was.
You know it was.
No, anytime you have 3 people together and 2 of them, and one person says something and the other 2
look at you. It's bad.
Done.
It's really bad.
Done.
Now this is a little bit different situation. I just don't know for sure if it's really terrible and inappropriate.
Hi, how are you?
I'm better now.
Thanks. I don't have any magic tricks. I kind of feel like
I showed up
for dinner without anything.
I wouldn't worry about that. Got magic written all over you, child.
Oh, thank you. That's good medicine for a single girl.
Ooh. I'm single, too.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying bachelor life?
I'm enjoying bachelor life immensely. Because I get to look at you and drool.
Don't
respond to it.
Right. All right. Indeed. So, yeah, he's obviously flirting with her, hitting on her, whatever. So
what does he say after I sit here and drool and what? I was trying to make out exactly what was said after he said I sit here and drool. Like, he just sits there and drools, and then whether you respond or not. Anyway, just, okay, I, you know, okay.
Yeah. So clearly hitting on her. But as James, there's a big article now about James Caan and some of the people that probably like Morgan Freeman, some of the people who know him, some of the people who hit on women too, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Are now starting to say, wait a minute.
Oh, James is a...
And James Caan says our society is in a really strange place because it's nature's way that men and women are supposed to be attracted to each other. He said, have we gotten to a point, just exactly what we were asking earlier today, have we gotten to a point where men can't hit on women anymore?
Yeah.
And it seems like we have, I guess.
I mean, I personally don't like the term hit on women. I mean, right there, you've started off on a bad foot.
You have.
And when you say to someone, like if I were to say...
What would you like to hear better?
I don't know. But one thing is for sure, I don't want people to look at me after I say it, okay? I know that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that clearly would mean that you've done something extraordinarily awful.
And it's happened way too many times in my life.
If they actually look at you, then you might as well go to prison. Go directly to jail because you're just going to be shamed into leaving our society anyway.
I mean, obviously it means, you know, flirting, but I mean, I was joking around about hit on you. That's a strange term now that I think about it, but it is strange that we can't seem to find a decent place. I mean, we've come a long way since the Harvey Weinstein.
Since this was first announced.
It sure was. I mean, these guys are bad guys, and they were actually doing stuff that was bad.
Yes. He's actually assaulting women, apparently.
And what's-his-face was assaulting women and boys.
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah. And, you know, these guys... just bad guys, and everybody knew it.
Yes, and that needs to stop.
Yeah, clearly,
that needs to stop. But if you stop all interaction between men and women, then that's a different deal.
Yeah, and now everybody wants to be a part of it, and being by wanting to be a part of it, it has to be he said that, and both people, Michael and Alan, looked at him. I mean, we're so. Oh, my gosh, no.
And when you say the phrase, boy, I wish I was there, and it's not even sexual in nature necessarily.
Necessarily. It definitely could be.
In fact, at its face value, it has nothing to do with anything sexual.
Well.
You could make it out in the context of where he is in the situation. You could make it into something like that, I guess. But you could also make it into something totally innocuous.
And listening to it, it definitely could be innocuous.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're in a really strange place.
Very strange.
James Caan is definitely right about that. And we're going to have to figure this out pretty soon. Because a lot of guys are going to wind up in lawsuits. They're going to wind up without a job. They're going to wind up being ostracized from our society. Like, where has Kevin Spacey been for the last year?
Well, he actually, as far as I know, has done the smart thing and disappeared.
He completely disappeared. And maybe he should, because maybe he's guilty, but he hasn't had his day in court. We don't know for a fact. It's never been proven. There's just been allegations. So, based on the allegations, and I believe him, frankly.
There are corroborating witnesses to a lot of the happenings. But
yeah, but he hasn't had his day in court.
No, he has not.
And he's gone. And so are a lot of these guys who have lesser accusations than Kevin Spacey does, and they've disappeared.
Yeah. He just got out.
I mean,
in Harvey's credit, he's stuck around and denied it. You know, I mean, he's lost a lot of stuff. He's lost everything he had, man.
He pled not guilty.
Look, he's a bad guy. There's no question. I don't know that I believe, obviously, every one of the complaints against him, but there's too many not to believe many of them. I'll tell you that.
888-727-BECK.
That's why, though, Pat, I'm looking so forward to the new book coming out this fall. That's going to help me deal with this. And it's called Becoming.
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 Okay. And we're becoming something better.
It's going to help us become whoever we aspire to be.
Is it? Okay.
You know, my story is what I have and what I'm always going to have. It's something to own. Becoming.
And who is the brilliant author of this incredible book?
Michelle Obama.
Wow.
That's going to be good.
Have you seen her arms? They're incredible. Her arms are unbelievable arms.
So you're telling me she couldn't be an author?
Oh, she can. With those arms?
Okay.
She could write a lot of great words. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Next week, you can join me on my own show, Pat Gray Unleashed, blazeradio.com and the iHeartRadio app on the Blaze Radio and TV network. And Glenn returns on Tuesday morning to the show. NARAL is planning to spend a huge amount of money this campaign season. Pro-choice group. Pro-choice. That's putting it nicely. They've released their plans to elect pro-choice candidates to Congress.
Oh, good.
In the midterm election. And they're going to spend millions in advertising. They're planning on the group's largest ever midterm political program. And this will amount to about four times the amount they spent in the 2016 presidential election. The plan was first announced in an invite-only conference call, then in a news release on NARAL's website. NARAL is investing in diverse candidates up and down the ballot in 19 states, including spending $5 million on mail, phones, digital ads, door-to-door canvassing, TV ads, and rallies to hold anti-choice candidates, read pro-life candidates. They're going to try to hold them accountable. And they're going to lift up the abortion advocates.
Good.
These guys, you know, you think that Planned Parenthood is bad. NARAL is even worse. They're like even more extreme than Planned Parenthood is. They're going to target the pro-life members of the House who are facing close races. Specifically targeting election races in Arizona, California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, Washington, and Wisconsin. I mean, all over the country.
Wow.
They've called this an unprecedented investment to hold anti-choice candidates accountable.
I bet. And they better not cave. The candidates, well, you know, I am really pro-choice, but...
They better not. They better not. Because they will lose if they
I
do
know.
That. They will
if
lose.
They fold, it's over.
Yeah, it is.
And these people, and they know it.
And this better wake us up.
Yes.
The pro-life movement has to wake up, and we've got to get involved in this stuff. Why do we let Planned Parenthood and NARAL control the narrative all the time?
We sure do, though.
But yeah, we have for far too long, and that's got to stop. NARAL told the Post, the Washington Post, it was funding a campaign through a surge of donations it's received after the election of Donald Trump. He said many of the donations came from people who sarcastically said they were giving on behalf of Vice President Mike Pence. It's not special. It's really wonderful. I mean, they're between them and Planned Parenthood. They control all the media. Many of the politicians and the narrative in this country, we've just allowed the pro-choice thing to just marinate, and so people buy into it.
Well, I mean, look, we spent years, you know, not wanting to talk about abortion.
Yeah, we did,
and saying that it's nobody wants to talk about abortion, and it's fine. Don't worry about it. Just you're not gonna look. We know you're for abortion. We got it. But pro-choice is, you know, don't. It's okay. Don't fight about it. Don't talk about it. It's bad radio. And we should have continued to talk about it. That was bad advice.
Yeah, and you know, for this women's movement, for the Me Too movement, a lot of the women, a lot of the people that are being aborted would grow up to be women.
Right.
So how is this not a women's issue? How is this not pro-woman?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Shauna in Utah. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hi there. Hey. I've been listening to what women are saying, and to me, Pat, it's totally ridiculous. I've always been able to handle it myself. And
what a concept.
That is. Are you sure?
Well, you mean like 40 years later, though, right? Where you sue the person that was right. sexually assaulting you. And then 40 years later, you say, I was scared, so I didn't say anything until now.
No, it's a matter of if they went too far, I would say, wait a minute now, you're going a little too far.
Huh.
You just say it.
You would just say it then? And then
that is,
a lot of times, not even say it. A withering look will stop.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. You just look at someone.
You let them know that's not appropriate, and you're not okay with it.
Yeah, if I'm not, but some of the stuff I've heard, I'd be complimented.
Okay. Yes.
I mean, yes. You made my day by walking in the room. I don't think that's an insult.
I don't think so
either. Thank you.
No, I don't think so either.
Thank you.
Now, is there a way you can say that, though, that creeps you out? Like, you made my day by walking in the room. I mean, would that then turn inappropriate?
It depends on who it was, I guess. My mouth water. I don't know.
All right. Thanks, Shauna. That's true. It's so subjective.
You just made my day.
It's so subjective.
It is. It is subjective. However, it is subjective up to a point, and when you reach that point, that's when the female is supposed to say either
stop it.
Stop.
Yeah.
Or continue, or it's okay to continue.
Yes.
And there's so many of these stories. A couple of the stories, the Harvey Weinstein stories, were fascinating to me because I don't have to tell you about it, but just remember when you're reading about it and you read about the plant at the restaurant in the back hallway. And I'm thinking, you know, if that was my wife, this is my wife, for example, she would either laugh and walk away, kick him and walk away, or end up
divorcing you and running off with him.
Right.
Right.
Because obviously Ari had a whole lot more money than I did and was able to put her in films.
But I love what Shauna says because it's so true. Just nip it in the bud right now.
Then.
Just let them know it's not appropriate and you don't like it and you want them to stop.
And fortunately for the
In 99% of the cases, they're right. going to.
Right.
Maybe not Harvey Weinstein. He may not. But any kind of reasonable man right. is going to stop yes. at that point.
Yes. And sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Sometimes, like our one reporter, sometimes the two other guys that are with him look at you and you know right then.
Yeah. And if you see the video, wow, was it powerful. I mean, they barely even glance out the side of their eyes at him. Michael Caine barely looks over at him, and Alan Arkin almost doesn't. I think he sees him out of his peripheral vision.
Is that? I didn't see the video. Is that really what?
Yes.
That's absolutely amazing.
It's not like they both turned and right, glared
just
at
just
him.
Like, what are you doing? What are you talking about?
They didn't glare at him
that
at all.
That is tremendous.
They shot him a quick look like, I don't know what you meant by that.
So it's even worse.
It's
they
worse.
Looked at him.
It is worse. When you see the video, listening to the way she presents
gosh.
It is even worse.
That's pathetic.
So this, I mean, I've got a little bit of sympathy for Morgan Freeman. I don't know how he treats women.
Yeah, you don't know.
I have no idea. But based on these two instances, I'm leaning toward giving him a pass.
Yes.
On both of them.
Yes.
With Pat and Jeffy, Glenn returns on Tuesday, 888-727-BECK. You know, speaking of NARAL and their abortion candidates that they're going to support, we were talking earlier today about the Jim Carrey situation where he's on this real anti-gun kick. And it might be better for Jim Carrey if he'd focus a little more on his career and maybe doing better movies that people liked. I don't know. Just a suggestion.
You're his manager all of a sudden now?
I'm a helper. Okay. I'm a helper and I'm just trying to point him in the right direction here.
On behalf of Jim, thank you.
Maybe these terrible movies you're doing that are going straight to video and on demand, maybe you devote a little more time to them and a little more effort. Maybe you go back to comedy. I don't know. Instead of paintings that depict bullet-ridden classrooms with a pledge of allegiance on the wall that says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the gun makers for whom it stands, one nation under greed indefensible, with butchery and injustice to the most innocent of all.
Gosh.
Oh, that's so powerful, Jim.
Okay, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
So powerful. But let me just ask, when you're going to start in on Planned Parenthood, who have taken the lives of 60 million Americans since 1973.
Women's rights.
Yeah, I know.
Woman owns your body. Why do you hate them?
The problem is there's a whole different body growing in there. And that's kind of the point. 888-727 back. Let's go to Andrew in Florida. Andrew, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to give you a call. I've been listening, and let me say this. I am a very much anti-abortion, but I'm also very much pro-choice conservative. And that might sound like they're at odds, but when you prohibit a thing, you create a black market for the thing. So if we outlaw abortion, it's only going to go back to back alleys, and that's a danger to all parties involved. But on the pro-choice side, the left wants to make the only choice abortion, and that's not the only choice.
Mm-hmm.
There's adoption. So I would love to see more conservatives become less anti-abortion, but more proponent of adoption. Let campaign on the fact that there is more than one choice, and we're not seeing enough of that.
Well,
and it allows the left to demonize these anti-abortion Republicans.
Yeah, but the problem is, to a lot of conservatives, myself included, it's murder. You're killing somebody, so you can't really just say, okay, there's other choices too. Because to me, murder's not a choice. So that's not a choice we want. We want made.
Plus, many of us have made that case, and we get fought every turn,
yeah,
saying we can't tell these women coming into Planned Parenthood that there's other alternatives.
And that they're expected to carry the baby to term. Because that's what you have to do if you're going to advocate for adoption,
right,
which is a great alternative. And they should be presented with that. But the left doesn't care about that.
No, not even. And we can't. I mean, we fight for mammograms. Not mammograms. What they do fight
ultrasound.
For ultrasounds, but they do fight for mammograms too, because they don't even. Planned Parenthood tells us that they have them, but they don't.
No, they don't have them. They tell you where to get them. That's it.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can do that too.
There's something called Google. You don't even have to leave the comfort and privacy of your own home.
Doesn't tell you exactly.
No.
I mean, there's no way.
Too hard.
Like. This is Google you talk about? Could you just click on a link and there's a map of where it is?
Yes.
And then
yeah, but it's pretty complex because you do have to click on something. So
I suppose when I click on the map, it just gives me directions and tells me how long it's going to take me to get there.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Shows you exactly how to get there and how long it will take. It does all of that.
Huh.
Yeah. But again, you do have to click on it, so there is some effort involved. The other thing, I reject the back alley argument. First of all, did that happen from time to time? I guess, but that was really rare. Back alley abortions are not the issue that the left tries to make them. If abortion were to become illegal, that doesn't mean that you just have to do this under a freeway overpass. Or in a back alley again. I mean, there are alternatives to that as well. So I reject that premise completely. 888-727-BECK. But, you know, there is no winning argument as far as the left is concerned when it comes to the abortion argument. They are so pro-abortion. They are so adamant about being able to have abortion on demand that they don't want to hear any alternative. They don't want to hear it. I have made the case in the past that maybe conservatives should push for abortion to be illegal except in the case of rape and incest and woman's life endangerment.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense.
I absolutely agree with that, by the way.
Because that's a lot better than what we have now.
And then
you progress to, you know, finally eliminating it. Why wouldn't we take that? Why wouldn't we just take that because it's so much better?
And the percentages of when that occurs...
They go almost negative. Americans would be in favor of that as well. I think most Americans want some sort of availability to
yes.
it because of rape, incest, and women's life in danger. So if you include those exceptions, you're probably going to win the argument with the American people.
I think you are.
And then you work on it afterwards. You know, let's just stop abortion on demand. Yeah, I don't know, but... it's an alternative, and it's what some people do say.
Because of those three things are really definitely feel-good things mm-hmm. that people love to feel, you know, okay, there's alternative. And yeah. the percentages are so low that I don't know that you need to...
In rape and incest, though, the thing is, you're still taking the life of the baby, right? So you're not going to get a lot of Christians on board with that. And the thing is, with a mother's life endangerment in this day and age, that's so rare.
That would almost never happen. Right. So, yeah, but absolutely go for that now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to fight for more after that.
Yes. Great. Then do it.
But let's get this.
Right.
Yes. 100%.
And I think you'd have 60 or 65, 70% of Americans on board with it.
Agreed. You might even get more.
Maybe.
Maybe get more. Maybe not. Maybe not more than that, but. I mean, abortion, the Planned Parenthood Family Assistance Program.
Mm-hmm. The Planned Parenthood Family Assistance Program.
Whatever they call it.
The abortion mill you're talking about, Planned Parenthood? Yeah. Okay. No, Family Assistance.
Yeah, the Planned Parenthood Family mm-hmm. Assistance Program.
Women's Health Advocates.
Whatever they call it.
Uh-huh.
They, that's not an abortion. That's not an abortion clinic, whatever they call it, other
right.
than that.
Right.
That's become pretty prevalent. I mean, there's a lot of people that use it in the inner cities across America.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
You may lose that inner city vote.
Here's the thing about that, too. Look where they are positioned. They're positioned in the inner cities, in black communities. Why? Well, because that's conducive with what the founder wanted Planned Parenthood to do, abort black babies. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable, really.
It sure is.
That they get away with it, and that nobody calls them on it, and that we never talk about it. We should talk about it all the time. It should be every day. We hammer on Margaret Sanger and her desire to eliminate the black race. That's why she created Planned Parenthood.
That's a fact.
It is a fact.
She made that known.
You can't argue with it.
Her words.
Yes. Look it up. Google. Something called Google will help you out with that.
Huh.
That's why in New York City there were... more black babies aborted than born live.
How sad is that?
It's crushingly sad.
Sad.
It's a catastrophe.
It really is.
It's a catastrophe.
It really is.
And we don't do enough to get that word out. And I think, you know, if you got the word out, there would be some people that would maybe wake up out of this Planned Parenthood slumber they're in. And certainly,
be nice.
And certainly you could stop the federal funding going to Planned Parenthood every year. The $500 million we're funneling in.
That'd be nice. Very nice. That should stop immediately.
888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck.
Couple of things. We were talking earlier about the NFL kneeling rule. They're not supposed to do it anymore. If they want to do some form of protest, they can stay in the locker room during the national anthem. But now there's a story that the players are looking for a different way to protest.
Good.
Isn't that wonderful?
Good.
Except I don't think it's going to be outside of the game.
That's the problem.
Or the stadium.
Right?
I think it's going to be within the confines of the game. Like after a touchdown or
right.
who knows what
That's
they'll do.
Really going to make me
oh,
angry.
Oh, that. that'll be maybe worse.
If you think the fans are going to allow that without being angry, you are sadly mistaken.
Yeah, they're not going to like that.
You're sadly mistaken.
Some of talking I'm about sorry. Maybe just staying in the locker room. Nobody cares about that. Go ahead. I don't
Please.
Care. I don't care. Stay in the locker room. I just don't have to see it.
Right.
That's great. If you want to protest on the weekend, like we said yesterday on a street corner, go ahead.
It's all yours.
That's fine. But don't mess up the game for us.
Please.
And I'll bet that's what they're working on.
Of course it
is. Let's find a new way.
Of course it is. Of course. You know it is.
Also in Missouri, there's a high school kid who's in some hot water.
It's amazing. Truman High School, this Kylan Scheel.
Pulled a little prank.
He pulled this senior prank. And, you know, earlier in the week, we talked about the kids in Maryland who stormed the school with squirt guns and fireworks
really
and masks. And lucky that only one
stupid.
Girl got hurt and another girl had a medical asthma attack. But more people could have gotten hurt, including
the kids who were doing it.
And they're still deciding on what they're going to do with these kids. But my man Kylan decided that he was going to put his school up for sale.
On where? Craigslist or something?
Yeah. So he described the building as a huge 20-plus room facility and listed the following selling points, among others. A newly built football field, newly added 4 modern-day rooms, next to Walmart for convenience, huge parking lot for great for partygoers looking for somewhere to park, bigger than normal dining room. Reason for the sale is due to loss of students coming up, named after hometown resident U.S. President Harry S. Truman and his family. Now,
That's funny.
No, he's in trouble.
That's funny.
Fact,
and the one line that got him into trouble, you can smell it a mile away, is that students... The reason it's being sold is the loss of students.
Due to loss of students coming up.
Now, he wasn't talking about the loss of students due to gunfire, though.
No, he was not talking
about the graduating seniors.
The detectives, they brought in police department. They investigated. No criminal charges. Asked him to remove the post, which he did. Told him to speak to school administrators, which he did. He suspended him for the remainder of the school year and not allowing him to walk in his graduation weekend.
That's
school,
a little much.
You know, look, it's
come
on. It's an implied threat. Maybe not a credible one, but it's an implied threat.
No, it's not.
Is it? Stop it.
Again, it's that zero tolerance policy stuff where you also have zero common sense. And you can't just see that this kid just did a funny little Craigslist listing. And he didn't mean anything violent by it.
It's amazing. I mean, they've the administrators and the police determined no threat, but they're still going to have extra police officers for the remainder of the school year.
And he won't be there, right?
At graduations, and he won't be there. And he won't be there.
How much time is left in the school year at
not
that school?
Not much.
I mean, only a couple of weeks, probably.
For all the schools, it's not much.
When your graduation is a once in a lifetime situation. You get it once.
And the last two or three weeks of a senior year is pretty powerful for everybody.
Yeah. Yes. And now this kid's not going to be able to take part in any of it.
Right.
There's consequences to actions.
I know there is.
But does the consequence fit the crime here?
I don't think so.
I don't even know that there's a crime necessarily.
Right.
It's just a funny little ad that he put in Craigslist.
The crime, I guess, technically would be fraud, right? You can't sell a building you don't own. It belongs to the government.
Because he had no power to sell it, and if anybody called to buy it for $12,000, they'd be told no.
$12,275, okay.
So, the only crime is the supposed implied what happened to the students that are not there, and he's implying that they're graduating,
There's definitely a better way to word it.
Yes.
You know, he could have done better to word it, but, you know, look, he's a senior in high school, and he's joking around, he's making a joke. And he's thinking, the reason I'm selling it is because of the loss of students. Okay. That was just silly.
He should have come up with a different reason for them selling it. And then maybe we wouldn't be talking about any of this.
Maybe he shouldn't have done it at all.
Maybe.
Maybe
that's a lesson that can be learned here. Okay? Just don't do a senior prank. Done.
Thank you.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll see you back here Tuesday.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.